Michelle Marie Johns, who is a third-year PhD student in the Department of Health Behavior and Health Education at the University of Michigan. Her research interests include LGBT health disparities, women's health, and sexuality research. She explores these topics in her work with Dr. Bauermeister's Sexuality and Health Lab, her position as a peer educator with University of Michigan's Sex Education Group, Sexpert Team, and her time as a graduate student instructor in women's studies.
Hello. Good morning to everyone. It's great to be here today. I think that's an old bio. I'm actually a fifth year, so I've made a little bit more progress at this point. So I'm really excited to present this talk to you today entitled Intersectional Wellness, Social Identities, Community Participation, and Happiness. And this talk today comes out of some analyses and research questions that I had the opportunity to explore when I was a fellow at the Summer Institute put on by Fenway Health and LGBT Population Studies. So this is kind of the first space publicly that I've gotten to speak about some of this. So I'm really interested to hear what you all think. No conflicts of interest to disclose. So at this point in LGBT health research, we're all well aware that LGBT community is an asset and resource available to LGBT persons in terms of health. When I'm speaking of LGBT community, I'm of course speaking of the community of identity available that is manifest through the social and relational ties between sexual and gender minorities. And this is a multi-level construct, so it can be happening locally through local businesses or organizations that cater to or are run by LGBT individuals, or it could be kind of perceived nationally in social media campaigns or policy advocacy that is focused on LGBT issues. Community broadly benefits well-being. It was identified by Alon Meyer as a sort of group-level coping device in the context of sexual minority stress. And it's positive that one of the key reasons why LGBT community is such a resource available to LGBT people is this idea of identity affirmation, that when living in a heteronormative society, LGBT community spaces provide a means to gain some sort of validation of one's non-normative or non-heterosexual identity. And connected to LGBT communities is very much related to and associated with psychological well-being. For the sake of my analyses today, I will be really focusing on LGBT community participation. So this is the behavioral component. So how are people reaching out to LGBT communities? Through recreational activities, professional groups. And so I'm not speaking really about the affective attachments of LGBT community connection, which is more of that emotional component. So when talking about LGBT community, it's important for us to think about who are these spaces for and who are they catering to. And there's a wide variety of research discussing the ways in which so-called mainstream LGBT community spaces are really exclusionary to persons of color. And that frequently, as LGBT people of color navigate these spaces, they encounter micro and macroaggressions in relationship to their racial identities. But this should not be interpreted to mean that LGBT people of color are without community. Indeed, there is a wide variety of beautiful qualitative work which analyzes and discusses the ways that LGBT people of color create and maintain spaces which are validating and affirming to their social identities. And indeed, when we ask people in broad surveys about their levels of community connectedness and we start to compare across racial and ethnic lines, we see equivalent levels of LGBT community connectedness across different racial groups. So perhaps people of color and white LGBTs are participating in different LGBT community spaces, and this becomes a provocative point of research. And I really think this is where intersectionality becomes a very important lens when thinking about resources and resilience among LGBT populations. So as many of us are obviously probably well acquainted with, health must be understood within the context of interlocking systems of privilege and oppression. And this is particularly relevant to LGBT people of color who contend with the intersection of both racism and heterosexism, which uniquely shapes their health and well-being. And so in the context of LGBT community participation, something that I was interested in is which communities of identity are LGBT people of color participating in, and how does this participation relate to mental well-being overall? So this was kind of the guiding conceptual model I used to explore this question. So the primary relationship I'm interested in is community participation in relationship to happiness. So I wanted to get beyond our discussions of depression and anxiety and start to look really constructively at a well-being metric. And then I was interested in exploring a moderator of social identity. And I did a 2x2 table putting people in groups by race and sexual identity. So I divided folks between people of color and white people, and then sexual minorities and straight folks. And I'll talk about the data in just a second. And then I tested this model 3 times, looking at 3 different types of community participation. So I had data about LGBT community participation, I had data about participation in communities of color, and then I had data that was directly related to LGBT communities of color. So we have 3 distinct analyses here. And I had 2 driving hypotheses. So broadly, I posited that community participation would be positively associated with happiness, regardless of racial or sexual identity. And that would be consistent with what we would see in the broader literature. And then my secondary hypothesis was that the matching of social identity to the type of community participation would amplify the protective effect of community participation on happiness. So this gets back to the idea of identity affirmation. So I hypothesize that if the community that you are navigating is designed to support the identities, the multitude of identities that you have, you're going to see a better net benefit to your overall well-being by participating in those spaces. To explore these questions, I used data from the Social Justice Sexuality Project, which is a national racially diverse sample of LGBT individuals. It was collected by Dr. Juan Battle, who's at CUNY in New York. And what is wonderful about this particular data set is its strength-based focus. It is well-situated to explore questions of resilience among LGBT populations. And data was collected along 5 primary themes: racial and sexual identity, spirituality and religion, mental and physical health, family formations, and civic and community engagement. And I also, just to plug, I really love this data set, and it is publicly available. So if other people have these kind of questions, I really recommend kind of accessing this data and doing your own explorations. For my data analytics strategy, I used a logistic regression using Stata 12. Stata 13 had just come out, so I didn't have access to it at this point. And so the outcome I had was interested in is happiness. So initially, happiness was cataloged using a 4-item measure where participants were asked to rank on a scale of 1 to 4 how often they had felt these affective happiness states in the past week. So when I created a composite metric, kind of a mean score of those 4 items, and did kind of our skew of what that looked like, I found that this was a very happy sample. So overwhelmingly, people were really excited and happy to be alive. and while that was terrific, it made it difficult to use it as a continuous outcome. So I dichotomized it using a medium split. And what we see really is that a comparison between those who are less happier than average and more happy than average. And then, as I mentioned, my predictors were community participation, with my key moderator being social identity, and I controlled with gender and age. So to give you a flavor of who was in my sample, the final sample shook out to be just under 4,000. These are complete cases. In terms of gender, there are about equivalent males and females in the sample, and just under 4% identified their gender as transgender. In terms of age, people were eligible as long as they were over 18. There was a wide range of participants. The mean age was around 35. These here were mean scores on the community participation metrics. Again, these were composite scores derived from a 6-item measure on participation in each of these types of community spaces. And then happiness, this is our median split, and so 50-50, as you would expect. This is how the social identity category shook out. Unlike most samples that we see when we examine LGBT health populations, the bulk of this sample were people of color who also identified as sexual minority. Yeah, I agree. Wow, that makes it a great, great sample. So this here is a very numerical slide. I really don't want to spend too much time on it, but I do want to just orient you to the fact that these are my primary main effects from my 3 models. So the 3 types of community participation and their relationship to happiness. And across all 3 models, more participation was significantly related to higher levels of happiness. So that first hypothesis did shake out. And then this is where I display to you my moderator. And so this gets a little confusing, and I will walk you through so you can kind of bear with me. The LGBT community participation metric is along the bottom. That's our x-axis. So as we move to the right, that's higher levels of community participation. My y-axis is the probability of falling into that higher happiness group, so happier than average. So a positive slope means a positive relationship between participation and happiness. And so then I've divided it out into my 4 identity groups. So the light blue line is people of color who also ID'd as sexual minority. Dark blue, people of color who ID'd as straight. That teal line is white folk who identified as sexual minorities, and then the lime green is white folk who ID'd as straight. And so the wall test at the bottom is the testing of significance of that moderation effect. So the moderation effect between LGBT community participation and happiness across these social identity categories was not significant for this particular community participation measure, but this pattern is important because you're going to see it over and over again. So I just kind of want to familiarize you all with the pattern that we see that people of color who also were sexual minorities had kind of the strongest protective effect. And we see that, so this here is communities of color, and again, controlling for age and gender. And I just want to show you that it's the same trend that people of color who also ID'd as sexual minority had the strongest protective effect in these community spaces. And this was actually a significant relationship. This moderation effect was significant. And then this last one is LGBT communities of color. And we see the same, and we're approaching significance here, but not quite significant in the relationship. But again, that pattern is the same. So what are some conclusions that can be drawn? I had to give Rue a little snapshot there. Right, so we see that participation in communities of identity is uniformly positively associated with happiness. And contrary to my own hypotheses, the strength of these associations was across the board greatest for people of color who also identified as sexual minorities. And so as I was kind of ruminating on what the meaning of this was, I started to think about this idea of potentially intersectional wellness. So in public health, we've become very accustomed to talking about compounding risk factors, and these are always tied up in these social identities, these marginalized social identities. But perhaps what we also need to start thinking about is compounding opportunities for wellness and well-being. And I think that the results of this study kind of open up the room for that discussion, and I think it's a really ripe area for future research in our field. Some of the strengths and limitations of this study, the majority of this sample identified as people of color. That's very unique. The intersectional analytic approach, I think, really just lends itself well to discussing these questions about resilience. Some limitations, a non-probability sample and cross-sectional data limit the generalizability. And for the sake of these analyses, people of color were collapsed into one group. As I move forward with them, I think it would be useful to desegregate and see how this shakes out across different racial identities. Future directions for myself, I did lose several hundred cases due to missing data. And so before kind of moving to publication, I think it'd be useful to impute some of this missing data back to see if how that informs the results of this analysis. And when thinking about any kind of intersectional question, I think gender becomes really salient. And there's been a lot of conversations around men and women's different experiences navigating LGBT spaces. So I think bringing in gender might be a fruitful point of discussion. In terms of the field more broadly, I think that it would be important to address this question of community participation and happiness longitudinally. So what is the causality here? Is it that people are going out and seeking community participation and that makes them happier? Or is it that people who are already pretty happy have the wherewithal to go out and seek community spaces? And so longitudinal research would allow us to kind of answer that question better. And then the results of this study really do support continued grassroots and policy efforts to bolster and support community organizations that facilitate activities for communities of color and sexual minorities. So I'd just like to acknowledge Fenway and thank them for this generous financial support and allowing me to do these analyses, and also thank Dr. Battle and his team for collecting just such an amazingly rich data set. And so references, and that's it. Thank you.